Chapter 56. Situation that would have broken the hearts of a dozen ordinary women, for everybody soon knew that we were of no family, and that's what made it so hard for her. But there she is as mistress now, and everybody respecting her. I sometimes fancy she is occasionally too severe with the servants, and I know what service is. But she says it is necessary, owing to her birth. And perhaps she is right. I suppose she often comes to see you? Four or five times a year, said Piketty. She cannot come quite so often as she would, said Mrs. Chickerell, because of her lofty position, which has its duties. Well, as I always say, Bertha doesn't take after me. I couldn't have married the man, even though he did bring a coronet with him. I shouldn't have cared to let him ask he, said Chickerell. However, that's neither here nor there. All ended better than I expected. He's fond of her. And it is wonderful what can be done with an old man when you are his darling, said Mrs. Chickerell. If I were Bertha, I should go to London oftener, said Piketty, to turn the conversation. But she lives mostly in the library. And, oh, what do you think? She is writing an epic poem, and employs Emmeline as her reader. Dear me. And how are Sol and Dan? You mentioned them once in your letters, said Christopher. Bertha has set them up as builders in London. She bought a business for them, said Chickerell. But Sol wouldn't accept her help for a long time, and now he has only agreed to it on condition of paying her back the money with interest, which he is doing. They have just signed a contract to build a hospital for £20,000. Piketty broke, and you knew that both Gwendoline and Cornelia married 2 years ago, and went to Queensland? They married two brothers, who were farmers, and left England the following week. Georgie and Myrtle are at school. And Joey? We are thinking of making Joseph a parson, said Mrs. Chickerell. Indeed. A parson. Yes, 'tis a genteel living for the boy. And he's talents that way. Since he has been under masters, he knows all the strange sounds the old Romans and Greeks used to make by way of talking, and the love stories of the ancient women, as if they were his own. I assure you, Mr. Julian, if you could hear how beautiful the boy tells about little Cupid with his bow and arrows, and the rose between that pagan apostle Jupiter and his wife, because of another woman, and the handsome young gods who kissed Venus, you'd say he deserved to be made a bishop at once. The evening advanced, and they walked in the garden. Here, by some means, Piketty and Christopher found themselves alone. Your letters to my sister have been charming, said Christopher. And so regular too. It was as good as a birthday every time one arrived. Piketty blushed and said nothing. Christopher had full assurance that her heart was where it always had been. A suspicion of the fact had been the reason of his visit here today. Other letters were once written from England to Italy, and they acquired great celebrity. Do you know whose? Walpole's? Said Piketty timidly. Yes, but they never charmed me half as much as yours. You may rest assured that one person in the world thinks Walpole your second. You should not have read them. They were not written to you. But I suppose you wish to hear of Ethelberta? At first I did, said Christopher. But, oddly enough, I got more interested in the writer than in her news. I don't know if ever before there has been an instance of loving by means of letters. If not, it is because there have never been such sweet ones written. At last I looked for them more anxiously than faith. You see, you knew me before. Piketty would have withdrawn this remark if she could, fearing that it seemed like a suggestion of her love long ago. Then, on my return, I thought I would just call and see you, and go away, and think what would be best for me to do with a view to the future. But since I have been here I have felt that I could not go away, to think without first asking you, what do you think on one point, whether you could ever marry me? I thought you would ask that, when I first saw you. Did you? Why? You looked at me, as if you would. Continued Christopher, the worst of it is I am as poor as Job. Faith and I have 300 a year between us, but only half is mine. So that before I get your promise I must let your father know how poor I am. Besides what I mentioned, I have only my earnings by music. But I am to be installed as chief organist at Melchester soon, instead of deputy, as I used to be, which is something. I am to have £500 when I marry. That was Lord Mountclere's arrangement with Ethelberta. He is extremely anxious that I should marry well. That's unfortunate. A marriage with me will hardly be considered well. Oh yes, it will, said Piketty quickly, and then looked frightened. Christopher drew her towards him, and imprinted a kiss upon her cheek, at which Piketty was not so wretched as he had been some years before when he mistook her for another in that performance. Berta will never let us come to want, she said, with vivacity, when he had recovered. She always gives me what is necessary. We will endeavor not to trouble her, said Christopher, amused by Piketty's utter dependence now as ever upon her sister, as upon an eternal providence. However, it is well to be kin to a coach, though you never ride in it. Now, shall we go indoors to your father? You think he will not object? I think he will be very glad, replied Piketty. Berta will, I know. End of Project Gutenberg, a text of The Hand of Ethelberta, by Thomas Hardy. Ether by Gutenberg Edition.